This is Just an Old Robot, written by Pezax and read by Flower Parish. This is a Fandom for Robots fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship between Bjorn Ruffian and Computron. Summary. Yes, Robot Fan really is her closest friend. No, she really doesn't have romantic feelings towards men or women. But maybe there's something stronger between her and Robot Fan than anything she's ever felt for anyone before. Yes, Mom. No, Mom. I am. I promise I'm taking care of myself. Yes, Mom, I do have friends. Ugh, she scoffs in disbelief at the next question. Name one, really? And honestly, if the fact that the first, the only, name that came to mind was Robot Fan was anything to go by, her mom wasn't nearly so wrong as she wanted to pretend. Robert Fine. Yeah. God, no, he's not my boyfriend, just a friend. How many times do I have to tell you I don't like boys like that? No, not girls either. You know this, Mom. It isn't much longer before she's able to wind up their weekly check-in call, but this one leaves her feeling even more off-kilter than they usually do. Yes, Robot Fan really is her closest friend. No, she really doesn't have romantic feelings towards men or women. But maybe there's something stronger between her and Robot Fan than anything she's ever felt for anyone before. Which is ridiculous, right? They haven't ever even met. How could she have feelings for someone she's never met? And wouldn't Robot Fan find that ridiculous if she ever tried to admit it? Although, Robot Fan does regularly point out that they don't have emotions, or an emotion circuit, whatever. That's what they mean, that they don't have emotions. So maybe, just maybe, they mean kind of the same thing she means when she says she doesn't have romantic feelings for other people. Just maybe they mean it a bit more than she does. She tries on her Ellison cosplay for the 100th time. It looks fine. Great, actually. It's just, it would look so much better, so much more recognizable, if she had a partner to cosplay Syro with her. But even as the thought forms in her head, the vision of an anonymous partner morphs into Robot Fan. They're already so good at role-playing a robot, they'd be the perfect Syro to her Ellison. As she turns to the side, continuing to inspect the costume, she wonders if Robot Fan roleplays being a robot all the time, or if it's just with her. Part of her hopes it's something they only do with her, something that belongs to just the two of them. But another part hopes that, if they truly think of themselves as a robot, they feel comfortable enough to let themselves be a robot with everyone. She's met several furries at conventions, and they were all really nice. She wonders if there's a term for furries, but like, robots. Robot Fan would probably know. And, whatever it's called, maybe they are one. She'd be fine with it if they are. She sighs and takes the Ellison outfit off, hangs it up in her closet. It's almost time for their usual pre-sleep mode chat, and even though she'd love to ask them about coming to the con, she knows she won't. They haven't even met. It would be too weird to ask Robot Fan to join her at a 4-day-long convention. Although, she suddenly has a greater-than-great idea. She should sign up to do a panel about their Hyperwarp fan comic. They have enough of a following that she thinks it would be well attended, and if she was accepted, well, she could ask Robot Fan if they'd join her for that, and there wouldn't be any of the weirdness of rejection if they can't make it, right? Right. She'll ask tonight. Robot fan. Hello. Bjorn Ruffian. Hi, how are you tonight? I have a great idea I want to chat about. Robot fan. I am only online tonight to tell you I will no longer be able to chat with you. Bjorn Ruffian. What? Why? Are you getting a new job or something? I can adjust to a different time to chat with you to accommodate. Robot fan. Negative. Technically, I am losing a job, as well as the space where I take my nightly sleep modes. Bjorn Ruffian. What? You're going to be homeless? Robot fan. I will not be homeless because I will be deactivated. Bjorn Ruffian. Oh my god! You know you won't necessarily die just because you're homeless, right? But seriously, can we drop the roleplay for just a second here? Where are you? Do you need me to come get you? You can stay with me until you're back on your feet. My couch is really comfortable. Robot fan. Yes. Robot fan. Need more information. Robot fan. 1 Jurong Hall Road. Robot fan. Yes. The address is quite a long drive from her apartment, not too far from that remote little museum, actually, which makes a few things make a lot more sense, but it's still early enough that she can make it there and back by about 3 a.m. It won't be an easy night, and tomorrow's classes will be a bitch to get through with how tired she'll be, but for Robot Fan, it's doable. As she drives, she thinks about what they'll be like. She knows anyone she told about this would think she's insane. Everyone says you shouldn't meet people you've only talked to online. But she knows Robot Fan way better than anyone who meets on a dating app would know each other. And, well, other than the fact that she's meeting them out in the middle of nowhere, all by herself, and then bringing them back into her own home to stay with her indefinitely, and that she has no interest in dating, well, this is kind of similar to meeting someone who she wants to date, right? She puts on a hyperwarp podfic recorded by one of her moots on AO3 and daydreams herself into the role of Ellison as she drives, Robot Fan starring beside her in the role of Syro. The drive passes quickly after that. As she's nearing the address, a sign that says Simac Robotics Museum next right comes into view, and she suddenly realizes that they've given her the address of that very museum that first, sort of, brought them together. Her first thought is fear. She's being naive. No one knows where she is. She's meeting a stranger at a remote museum in the middle of nowhere and is about to be murdered. But that passes in a flash as she thinks about Robot Fan's situation. They likely were already kicked out of their home, and what better place to have her pick them up than the very museum that first brought them together? She pulls up in front of the building, wondering if there are cameras, worried about security guards. But there's no one in sight. The place looks completely deserted. Even the streetlights aren't on, though it's the middle of the night, like the power to the entire property has been shut off. She leaves her headlights on, her doors locked, peers around in the hopes that Robot Fan will turn up before she freaks herself out too much to wait around any longer. It suddenly occurs to her that she never even thought to get their cell number. She has no way to get in touch with Robot Fan except to sit here and wait for them. And then, something catches her attention in her peripheral vision. She turns her head to look for it, but still doesn't see anyone. She ducks her head a bit to get a better view out the passenger window, and finally catches sight of a tiny red light. It blinks. On. Pause. On. Then there's a full minute before it does it again. She puts the car in reverse and turns the wheel, backing up until her headlights are pointed at the source of red light. She exhales harshly in frustration. There isn't anyone there, just a statue of an antique-looking robot next to the front entrance, with some blinking LEDs to increase the realism. Was this all an elaborate hoax to waste her time? She flops forward, sighing heavily in frustration, and accidentally lands on the car horn, jerking back upright at the sudden blaring noise breaking the silence. As if the noise caused it, a flurry of lights flashes across the robot's chest box, and then the robot's head tilts down until what is intended to look like eyes meet hers through the window. She screams, caught off guard by the sudden movement from what she'd assumed to be a display only for show. The robot begins walking towards her car, and she panics, knowing that she should be driving like a bat out of hell to get away from this creepy thing, but frozen with fear. The robot makes it to her passenger door, and its hand, what Robot Fan called a grasping claw in their fanfiction, tries to pull on the door handle. She's silent now, looking through the window at this creature, this robot, who is calmly trying to get into her car. It's talking, and has been, apparently, for a while, because it is in the middle of a sentence when she finally hears it.
"Name is Computron. I am Robot Fan. Please do not be afraid of me, Bjorn Ruffian. I do not mean you any harm."
It pauses a moment and starts again.
"My name is Computron."
She clicks the unlock button, and Robot Fan, a real, live, or not-so-alive, robot, gets into her car.
"Hello,"
it says.
"I am Computron."
Hi, she replies. "So you're really, like, a robot?"
"Yes,"
it says, without elaborating, like this fact is simple and needs no more explanation. And, well, maybe it doesn't. Robot Fan had been honest with her from the start about this, and that feels like a good indicator of their character. She nods and puts the car into drive. 1 year later. "You about ready, Computron? Our fans are waiting." She smooths down her costume, not so different from the Ellison cosplay she used to wear to conventions, but now something completely of her own design, and then turns to buff an imaginary smudge off Computron's torso box.
"Yes, I am always ready,"
Computron replies. She takes their grasping claw in her hand and leads them out onto the stage of their very first Comic-Con panel as the MC begins announcing them. "Please welcome to the stage the creators and main characters of the original comic Robot Fan and Bjorn Ruffian, a true story about how a robot and a human girl found each other in the chaos of the modern world." The crowd roars as they take the stage. The end. Baby, 우리 이 따뜻한 물결 때로 간직하고 싶어 어떤 누구라도 우리 사이 풀지 못해 Tell me now, tell me now 말 좀 해줘 내 안에서 막 네 마음 안에서 별 보고 치고 있어 덜컥 겁이 나는 걸 어쩌겠어 난 너가 없으면 내 마음 편히 기댈 집이 없어 손은 너를 위해 비어있어 어찌 보면 조금 어렵겠지만